We hear again our Lord's words from Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" In the name of Jesus. Our reading from Hebrews 12 gives us the description. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. But we know as we look around, it does not hit us like that. Our eyes see something different, an earthly city, and it doesn't look like the city of God. But you are, Scripture says, a citizen of the city of the living God, where there is only life, because He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The city of the living God is those enrolled in heaven by baptism, even as we saw it given to little Dante this morning. The city of the living God is righteousness and purity. It is peace and harmony. It is life and health, joy and delight. You belong not to death, but to life. But we do not see it now. By the empirical evidence, we are thoroughly of the world. We wake up in it and go to bed in it. The world is of sinful flesh. We see not righteousness and purity, but uncleanness and guilt. Not peace and harmony, but division and hatred. Not life and health, but death. So we don't see it now, but we have come to the city of the living God. Hebrews 12, 22. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new testament, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus is given to us as a mediator of a New Testament. The translation we read earlier has New Covenant, but it's the same word Jesus uses with his sacrament, the New Testament and his blood. You have come to the city of the living God because Jesus has made you beneficiary of his testament. Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, on the way to his death, seated 12 witnesses, legal witnesses, around a table. And to those witnesses, he spoke his last will and testament, for that's the way you did it then, so that upon his death, his wealth would be rightly distributed to his beneficiaries. But for a testament to be put into effect, the one who made it must die. "Take and eat," said Jesus on the night when he was betrayed. "This is my body, which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." That's the last will and testament of Jesus Christ before he died, so that upon his death, his testament would be put into force and his wealth, that is, his body and blood for the forgiveness of all sin, would be distributed to his beneficiaries. You have come to the city of the living God, not by sight, by sight. We know we're still in our sinful flesh and we see the sinful world around us. But Jesus has made public his last will and testament. And by that, you belong not to the sin of this world nor of your own flesh. You belong to his righteousness. Our sinful flesh testifies that we do not belong to life, that we have guilt that we must yet deal with, that we must find a way to placate the holy law of God. But the crucified body and blood of Jesus testifies otherwise. It testifies that the law has been fully meted out on the cross, that we are innocent then by that blood before God, and we belong to life. You have come to the city of the living God, says Hebrews. How could it be any other way for one who has been redeemed and cleansed by the holy blood of Jesus? Jesus, who atoned for the sin of the world, who came to bring the sinner out of death into life, out of the realm of the devil into the city of the living God, who came to bring not the law but grace. This Jesus gathers you to his table of cleansing and life. It is the word of Jesus that holds the day. His word of forgiveness overcomes all unworthiness of those he invites. His wealth of his crucified body and blood overcomes any impoverishment of our sin and shame. From every nation and language, from east and west, north and south, his word of invitation draws sinners to recline at the table of the kingdom of God. And when his invitation goes forth, this invitation leaving no sinner out, for he has atoned for all, this invitation putting the sinner not under the law, which always accuses, but under the gospel, which always forgives and speaks grace. When it goes out, the sinful flesh will hear that invitation and unfortunately reverse it and turn it into law. Luke 13:23. Jesus went his way through the towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" We right there see the law at work, the law that counts and measures, the law trying to find out how few can be those who receive the gifts of God. Will those who are saved be few? How the sinful flesh wants to restrict heaven and wants to limit the gifts of Jesus. But this is Jesus, who at his baptism took upon himself not the sins of a few, but of the world, who has eaten in the homes of tax collectors and sinners, who has spoken kindness to prostitutes and drunks, who has let himself be numbered with the worst that Galilee could produce. This is Jesus who stood in front of Pharisees to speak grace to those the Pharisees were condemning, in front of Sadducees to speak honor to those the Sadducees were restricting from the temple, who is sent to the world of sin and death by his Father, who so loves every sinner. Does Jesus want to restrict heaven, to limit the city of the living God? Luke 13:30. Jesus said, "And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table of the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Which is to say, the kingdom of God will be restricted, but not by the desire and intent of Jesus. The kingdom of God will be restricted, but it will be restricted by those who want to justify themselves in order to count themselves first in line. They will be last. It will be restricted by those who hear Jesus' invitation of grace, yet they want to be at the table not by the invitation of grace, but by their own worthiness. They will not be at the table. They will be last. Jesus does speak to those who will not be at the table. Listen to how he describes those who are left outside. Luke 12:26. "You begin to stand outside and to knock at the door," Jesus said, "saying, 'Lord, open to us.' Then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.'" Notice that those left outside, to gain entrance to the feast, they didn't come to the Lord and say, "Lord, please have mercy on us and open to us purely out of your word of promise and grace." Nor did they say, "Lord, we are poor and miserable sinners, all of us. Please, in your mercy, let us sit at your table as those who depend only on your kindness and grace." They spoke not of the Lord's overflowing grace and abundant mercy. They spoke of themselves, of what they had done, and of where they lived. "We ate and drank in your presence," they said, "and you taught in our streets." They referenced themselves. They looked to their own works, their own decisions. They will not be at the table. Who will be? Who will be saved? Those who know that in their sin, they are last. The last shall be first, and the first last. Luke 13:30. We come before this Lord as the last. carrying nothing but our sin, covered in nothing but our shame, we come to him who speaks the invitation, drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. At those words, we have come, not to the city of this world, which could never know wealth like that, in which we know by the eyes of our flesh, but we come to the city we know with ears of faith. Hebrews 12:24. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You have come to Jesus, who gives you his testament. My blood, he says, for the forgiveness of your sin. In the name of Jesus, amen.